Let thebeardstruggle.com cream all over your beard.
What?
With the Beard Struggle's all new beard cream.
Oh, thank God.
Now everybody can get nice and creamy.
I think what he means to say is that with ingredients like glycerin and shea butter, avocado, and jojoba oils, it's perfect for everyone, anytime.
Night, day, hot, cold. You're going to get that cream.
Okay. And hyaluronic acid ensures deep hydration without the grease for a long beard or just some scruff.
Creamy scruff without the grease.
Dude, gotta stop. And as always, use our exclusive discount code TORTURE19 and take up to 19% off at checkout.
Getting creamy and taking it off.
Okay, we need to end this. TheBeardStruggle.com. Do what's right for your beard. Do what's right for your face.
Sort your sexy, creamy fucking beard out.
Oh, boy. The subject of this episode will be a breakdown of the various experiments done on the prisoners in Pingfan. The diseases, the extreme temperatures, and the tests done to examine the limits of what the human body can endure. We'll see how the Epidemic Prevention and Water Filtration Unit of the Kwantung Army acquired their unwilling participants. Take a short 5-hour field trip to another testing site, and find what happened to the poor souls that actually survived it all. Hint, they don't survive for long. Today we give you episode 2 of Unit 731. I'm Kevin Young.
I actually couldn't think of anything stupid to say today, so it just dawned on me, so hi, I'm Dan.
And this is torture.
See, I was like, yeah, I was like, shit.
I have shark sandwich.
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh. It's cold here again, Dan. Got warm for a few days, and now it's fucking cold again. Winter advisory. The kids are home. Stay home from school. They got an e-learning day, which fucking sucks for everybody. They don't like it. We don't like it. It's like, we want you out of the house. Go.
But apparently here it's 5 degrees Celsius and it feels like -1. So, I don't know.
It is currently 31 degrees Fahrenheit, which I believe is like 1 degree below zero in Celsius or some shit.
Yeah, so it's
like that.
Same temperature nearly. Like, is it, well, yeah. What it feels like here is what it actually is there, kind of thing, apparently.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And temperatures are supposed to drop tomorrow, so. Hey, how you been, bud?
Good. Tired, as usual.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's something that happens after you your birthday. Your birthday starts with 1-9 these days. Yeah.
Yeah.
But how about you? Because I'm boring this week.
Oh yeah. Just Same shit. Same fucking shit.
I've been playing a lot of Gran Turismo. That's about it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like, that's literally it. Played a bit more of that Star Wars game, too. But, mainly
Star Wars
Turismo, the Outlaws one. Connor got it for me for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Yeah, so, just been mainly driving fake digital cars around with other people. You know, getting annoyed with them.
That.
No.
beats driving real cars around with other people.
Oh, yeah, tell me about it. I had a funny little road rage incident the other day where it wasn't me road raging, it was a different guy. It was a guy. So I left here, and there's like a store thing just across the road, or outside the estate, and up the road a little bit. So I'm driving down the main road, and this guy decides he wants to drive out of there, sees me coming, guns it, realizes last second, I'm not going to make it, I'm going to hit him. Slams on. I had to kind of swerve a little bit to avoid him because he was halfway out into my lane. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, and next thing he's like, oh, like, you know, and I'm like, what did I do? You know, like, you know, so, yeah, so come up to junction anyway, and he pulls up and he's like, he tried to drive to go around me at it. I'm like, what the fuck? And next thing he's like, listen in the mirror, like, you see him in the mirror, and it's like, what did I do wrong here? Like, you know, and so we're driving down the road and he's right up my ass. And next thing you see his indicator go on. I'm going straight, and no, he's taking this left hand turn, and he's still like, rah, rah, rah. As soon as I see him start to go, I just want like this out of the window. Yeah. And he's like,
flames off the side of my head.
It's like, what an idiot.
And we were we did our Valentine's stuff day last week because we weren't going to be able to do it on Valentine's Day, which for everybody out there, we're recording this before Valentine's Day, but this comes out after Valentine's Day. So hopefully everybody had a good Valentine's Day. Nobody broke up or got pregnant. I mean, it's the worst two things that can happen on Valentine's Day, either break up or get pregnant. So we're out and about in St. Louis. And if anybody knows anything about St. Louis, it's not the safest part of the world as far as the first world goes. So there's it's a two-lane road, but it merges into one. One lane, the lane that we were in, kind of breaks into the other one. So you do the zipper method. You go, I go, you go, I go, you go, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're, you know, coming up and we're pulling in, and the car behind us just fucking gives us a honk. Like, hey, what are you doing? It's like, well, this is how it works, fucking idiot. Yeah, I have to merge in. You wait for me to merge. Then you go. And then the
general courtesy.
It's how it goes.
In some ways.
So my wife rolls down the window and fucking flips him off. She goes, fuck you. I go, what are you doing? She goes, what? I was like, do you remember where we are? She goes, oh, shit. She starts ducking down like we're going to get shot at. It's like, you're going to get fucking killed.
Fuck's sake.
Happens. That happens all the time. People just pull out guns. You know, it's America. People, it's a bad part of America. People just pull out guns, start shooting at each other. Yeah, it happens. So it's like, don't do that. You're gonna get us fucking shot.
God damn.
The worst thing is, we were pulling off the side of the road onto the shoulder, in like half a mile, because we were going to a little bookstore there there's a city called Maplewood, which is actually a nicer area of St. Louis. So the chances of us getting shot were lower, but never gone. The chances are never zero.
It's because their aim is really bad there. That's all it is.
So we're pulling over. It's like, we're going to pull over. They're going to pull up next to us, and they are going to blast us. But no, they just took off. It's like, all right. Yeah, fuck you. Yeah.
They probably thought the same thing about you.
They're like, probably. Like,
your man's wife sitting in the car, kind of like, remember where we are.
They honk. What are you honking at people for? They're going to shoot.
We're in St. Louis.
Just pull up next to each other, roll down the road. Are you going to shoot me? No. Are you going to shoot me? No. All right.
Did we just become best friends?
Do you have any fancy mustards? I do not. Yeah. Okay. Oh, fuck. Anyway.
Well, you survived. That's the important
thing.
Yeah,
we survived. I almost didn't survive the entire trip because we spent so much goddamn money. So we're in the bookstore, and I'm looking around at all of them, and they got a history section, and I was looking for a couple books in particular. One just for fun, the other one for, like, research. And I'm looking around, and I get over to the history section. They have history broken into different areas of the world. Like, they have African history, and they have Middle Eastern history, and they have Asian history, and It's like, oh, Native American history. It's like, oh, fuck, this is cool. So I'm like, they got to have Irish history. This would be great. Thinking I could find like a little Irish history book and then, you know, learn a bunch of stuff and me and Dan could talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go over
it. Which I won't have a clue about.
They have an Irish section. And I'm looking up and it's kind of high up. So they have those little ladders that are on the railways. You can move them around and walk. It's like, fuck, this place is fucking great. I love it.
101 ways to cook potatoes. That's it.
I look up and there's a book and it's only, I don't know, you can tell from looking at the book, it's probably maybe 250 pages thick. It's not super thick, but it says Irish History for Americans. I'm thinking, that's fucking perfect. I go, babe, come here. I was like, I can get that. I can read up on it. I can, like, surprise Dan that I have some, like, information about Ireland he might not know. And I'll be like, yeah, I learned all this stuff about it. I'm thinking it's going to be great. We have something to talk about. I climb up the ladder. I grab it. I open it up. It says $29.95. I close it. I go, nope, not worth it.
All it says is, no, like, you are not one quarter Irish. That's literally all it says. And then that's it.
I was like, that's horrible. It's like, it's $30. Come on. I mean, I want to have something to talk to him about, but $30, come on.
I can imagine what that would be like. A little footnote. Contrary to popular belief, just because your great-great-grandfather was Irish does not mean that the one Irish person you meet will know them.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm sure, of course I know.
Or her last name was Murphy. So, like, oh, do you know the Murphys? They'd be like,
yeah, yeah.
Which fucking one? It's like coming over here and be like, do you know the Johnsons? Yeah, I sure do.
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Shaq Hennessy. I know that guy.
Yeah. Anyway, we've been getting some new subscribers to our YouTube channel, I noticed. So not a whole bunch, just a handful. So thank you guys for checking that out. If you haven't checked it out yet, go over to our YouTube, youtube.com/torturepod, and check it out. You can see, instead of listening to the podcast, you can watch the podcast or see, you know, just what little excerpts we have and shit. You know, whatever. Do whatever.
It's one of the better ways.
Yeah, it's fine.
Because you get to see me not look so great when Kevin describes certain things. So.
I mean, of the two ways to consume the podcast, it's one of them. So yeah. You have that going. All right. Well, hopefully our first episode of Unit 731 didn't freak too many people out. I don't think I mean, if you've gone this far listening to this podcast, I wouldn't think that first episode would do anything to you. This one is going to be a little bit more graphic with some of the things that happened. It won't be as bad as the second episode, third episode, whatever, of Nanking, just because of what is kind of left out, and we'll get to that in a little bit, of what is left out. But it's still going to be, there's going to be parts in it where you're going to go, I don't like that. Because there's parts of it when I was reading, I went, I don't like that. Before we get started, my wife started watching this show on the History Channel called Dark Machines, I think it was called. And she's like, babe, you got to watch this show. They talk about, like, torture and stuff. I was like, all right. Like, first off, I don't trust anything I see on the History Channel.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the ones who give credence to, the aliens helped build the pyramids. So I don't give too much. But she's like, no, watch. They have this device on there.
And it's like, Iron Maiden.
They did do the Iron Maiden. It was like the Iron Maiden wasn't actually real. It was never ever actually used. It was created in like the 19th century as a novelty thing. And they're like, no, it was used during the Spanish Inquisition. It's like, I don't think it was. But she's like, no, you have to watch because they have this device. I don't know if you talked about it or not, which she should know because I always talk to her about what we're covering.
She's your wife. She pretends to care. Right? Yeah, I've already gotten this. Yeah.
Pretty much. She's
like every day I say something to Alice nice. About you. Be like, who's Kevin? Who's Kevin?
Oh, is he a new friend?
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know if you covered this yet or not, but it's just a wheel. It's a wheel that they would put people on. Like,
I know this one. Crocodile ears.
You mean the breaking wheel? She's like, no. They just called it the wheel.
Wheel.
Like, All right. Yeah, I know all about it. She's like, oh, I bet they talked about some stuff that you didn't cover. I'm like, they probably didn't. We did like an hour and a half long episode on it. She's like, no, there's a lot of stuff. And then she shows it to me. I make dinner, I sit down. I was like, all right, show me this thing you need to show me. And she shows it to me. It's like a 10-minute thing where they talk about it. He's like, and the first thing they call it is the breaking wheel. I was like, see, the breaking wheel. She's like, oh, I didn't hear that part. But that's just the wheel. Like, all right, fine. And it's like a 10-minute thing. I was like, yeah, we talked about it. So I start giving her all this other information that they didn't give. She's like, she's got this look of horror on her face.
You're like, I was like, Stephanie, yeah, well, that's literally like the last episode we did. Come on.
It was two episodes ago. Yeah. It's like, that's our first episode back from break. She's like, oh. I was like, yeah. And that doesn't even color have, like, in Germany, they would actually use the wheel on break people. And then roll when they first started using it, they'd actually roll the thing over people. Oh, well, they showed it rolled. It's like, no, they build a trench and they put them.
And the Swiss used wheels of cheese and hit people with them. You know.
Well, and then they'd cover St. Catherine. She's like, did you cover St. Catherine? I was like, well, yeah. It's called the Catherine Wheel. She's like, yeah, that's why it's called the Catherine Wheel. It's like, I know, it's why it's called the Catherine Wheel, woman. And then they just like, oh, she touched it fell apart, and then they had her beheaded. I was like, oh, they left out the best part. She's like, what's the best part? So I had to go through the whole fucking story of telling her about all the people that didn't that converted and they killed, and then she touched it, and stuff shot out and hit spectators. Oh, that's hilarious. And then they cut off her head. It was a bunch of milk. I told her, I was like, it wasn't milk. She was filled with salve. And my wife's like, babe, that's horrible. I was like, but it was funny.
I just have this image in my head of like Steffi sitting there kind of like, oh, so tell me about it. And then you're like, hit the music.
Because I went into my whole spiel. Yeah. I started from the beginning.
On this week's episode of Explaining Shit to My Wife.
She's just watching. She's like, oh, have you done the guillotine yet? Like, no. And then I told her, like, actually, do they tell you how Joseph Guillotine, the creator of the guillotine, and the breaking wheel are connected? She's like, no. So I told her that. She's like, you're that's about interesting. To. You want to know? Too bad. You're going to find out. I feel it's so bad for all the spouses of podcasters, especially like true crime and history podcasters, because their spouses are the ones who get hit with all this shit first.
Yeah, pretty
it's like,
much.
Hey, guess what I just learned? You're going to find out.
Yeah. It's like sometimes, it's like Alison would say to me, how'd your episode go? And I'm pretty sure it was after the Nanking one. I was like, don't want to know.
Don't want to talk about it.
No. Wasn't pretty.
She's like, well, you should cover the guillotine.
I don't know why I put myself through this.
We were going to cover the guillotine when I covered Maximilian Robespierre, and her eyes got real big. Like, how'd you know that name? It's like, because I do my fucking research. And then, but then I realized it's like,
fucking the guillotine read.
It's not really a torture device so much as it's just an execution device. So
unless you put their foot in it first. Yeah, start with their toes.
She's like,
get
oh,
little
no,
tiny guillotines dropping on their digits.
She's like, oh, you'll see it's a torture device because some people had to get used like more than once because their head didn't get completely chopped off. I'm like, yeah, I get it. But, yeah. Anyway, if you're a podcaster, give your spouse a little bit of wiggle room. You don't have to tell them every single thing that you.
Yeah, give them a little wiggle.
Yeah, they didn't know. It'd be like, oh well, they knew who I was before we got married. They didn't know you were going to be a weird podcaster before you got married. That's something you got into. That is not their fault or their problem. All right.
Yeah, especially depending on what your podcast is about.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's just like movies or cartoons or something, that's fine. But like true crime and history podcasts, yeah.
Welcome to Footcast.
This is Foot, episode 2.
Yeah.
All right, well.
This is my right one.
Oh, fuck. All right. Well, now, back at Unit 731.
Oh, yeah, the podcast.
Oh, yeah, we have a podcast. We actually have subjects to cover, not just us bantering. Back at Unit 731, before the Battle of Changji and the Chi Kang campaign, Ishii and his researchers lived a life of veritable luxury. plentiful supplies of the best foods, central heating against the bitter sub-zero temperatures of the Manchurian winter, Western-style lavatories, so, you know, toilets that flushed, all while the real horror was happening right in the middle of the complex. And its existence was kept so secret that many junior members of the unit had no knowledge that he was even there. See, the whole reason Ishii decided to set up in northern Manchuria was so he could covertly experiment on human beings. In what was essentially a police state, he could be given an uninterrupted supply of human guinea pigs. With the data gained from these experiments, he believed Japan could beat the rest of the world in developing these new weapons of war, and no other country would have such accurate details about how epidemics spread or how to protect against them. That was his big thing. Like, well, they're going to use it too, so we might as well use it first, and then we'll know how to defend against it. Which,
just like the nuke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we built the nuke first, and now we know how to defend. Everybody get under your desks.
Get inside fridges, people. That's what you do.
That's what, hey, if it's good enough for Indiana Jones, it's good enough for me. I honestly didn't mind that movie all that much. It's definitely not my favorite, but I didn't.
I haven't watched it in its entirety yet.
You've never watched Kingdom of the Crystal Skull in its entirety?
Nope.
Just on standing on your laurels or just
Just because I never have. Yeah, it's... I can't remember why.
I saw it at the drive-in. I saw it at the drive-in. We went and saw that, and I can't remember what other movie we saw. It might have been like Iron Man or something. But I know a lot of people hate it, and it's definitely got its flaws, but I was entertained by it, which is all that really matters.
As long it doesn't as matter okay, how good it would have been. It would not have been good enough to the diehard, to an awful lot of, you know, certain things are just never good enough.
Yeah, no, it'll never be good enough.
No, that's why Half-Life 3 has never been made, really. It's because no matter what they do, it'll never live up to expectation.
Yeah, it's a no-win situation for you. Yeah. Now, according to Lieutenant General Saburo Endo, Ishii had been performing experiments on people for years before they made it to Pingfan. Quote, Ishii told me that he had experimented on cholera and plague on the mounted bandits of Manchuria during 1933 and 34. By 1935, Ishii was showing movies of human experiments to his senior staff. And apparently they didn't like it all that much. He's just the creepy guy who's showing, like, gore fest horror movies to his friends, and it's like, oh, you gotta watch this. A clown just goes in and starts.
I guess like you with Terrifier. Damn, yeah, you gotta watch Terrifier. You gotta watch Terrifier.
Watch this movie. I was like, what is he doing? He's peeling your skin off and then pouring salt all over it. Isn't it cool? And everybody's just like, no, dude, what's wrong with you? I wanted to watch La La Land.
Hey. I got this lovely, happy movie about a clown. He just wants to be loved.
Do you have, like, The Producers or Blazing Saddles?
Oh, I haven't seen that in years, actually. The Producers is a great film.
The Producers?
Film. Yeah.
I love The Producers, and I enjoy the remake that they made a few years ago with Matthew Broderick and what's his face? I can't remember his fucking name now. I love The Producers. The Producers is great. Now, when they acquired the building in Harbin, the basement floor was used for human experiments. It, however, became too small to accommodate the number of personnel for them to be carried out in a systematic manner. And by the time they had gotten to Pingfan in 1938, human experimentation was a routine procedure. Now, this area was an ideal location for a supply of victims. Harbin was a multiracial city of Chinese nationalists, Chinese communists, indigenous Manchurians, Mongolians, and white Russians. I cannot say the two words white Russians without thinking of the drink, which then makes me think of The Big Lebowski, which then makes me think, like, hey, man, just, you know, you do whatever, man. Every time I read white Russian, all I can think of is fucking The Big Lebowski. And anyone that dared spoke out against the Japanese or the paradise of Manchukuo, which was just Manchuria, was liable to be picked up by the Kenpeitai, a.k.a. the police affairs section of the Kwantung Army, pretty much the Japanese Secret Service. You would then be taken to a detention camp known as Hogoin, but the Kenpeitai called it the Scientific Research Division.
Hogoin. Sounds like a lovely place to stay.
We're going to the Scientific Research Division. Yes, you're going to be scientists now, as we cut off your hands. had accommodations for 150 men. For those who tried to escape or violated the camp's cruel regime or stirred up anti-Japanese feelings, they were sent to Unit 731. And once you entered Unit 731, you never left. As remembered by Lieutenant Kenji Yamagishi, quote, "I do not remember the names of all the people sent to Detachment 731 for extermination. I recalled Demchenko, a soldier of the Soviet Army, who categorically refused to give any information about the Soviet Union. I decided to have him physically exterminated and sent him to Unit 731 for this purpose. Detachment 731 always sent their own motor vehicles for the people. During the whole period that I served at the Hogoin camp, there was not a single case of any of these people dispatched returning to the Hogoin camp." Yeah, so they would just come in like the cover of night in these big trucks with canopies over them and gather up a bunch of people and take them to Unit 731. They'd just be there one day and the next day completely gone. Never hear from again.
We watched that movie Overlord.
Yeah.
Last night or night before. Just give me serious Overlord vibes. And I know what Overlord's based on is the Nazi super soldiery program thing that he was trying to do, but giving those serious vibes.
they turn into more like souped up zombies and shit.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that movie in forever, but yeah, I know what you're talking about. It was decent.
Oh yeah, I had fun with it.
Yeah. Now there's a reason why you never heard from these people again. You'll notice through the course of this episode or the series that when I speak of actual Unit 731 proper, not its satellite facilities, that a quote will always come from someone that once worked there. It will never come from a survivor, because there were none. Unit 731 had a 100% mortality rate. So you entered the building at Pingfan.
Take that, smallpox.
Yeah, I mean, that's worse than Nanking. Person to person. Obviously, there was a lot more people that died in Nanking than what will die in Pingfan. But if you're going person to person, yeah. It's worse than that. It's worse than Auschwitz, worse than Dachau, worse than any of the concentration camps that pretty much have, worse than all of them. Obviously, the numbers aren't as high, but still, 100% is 100%. Yeah. But the prisoners from Hogoin were only one source of human guinea pigs. About 70% were Chinese soldiers, intellectuals, and local worker agitators picked up by the Japanese Secret Service, or the Kenpeitai, throughout Manchuria. They would be shipped to Pingfan as special consignments, a category of prisoner being suspected of spying, of being a saboteur, or an ideological criminal. Maybe an opium smoker, pro-Soviet and anti-Japanese, unwilling for re-education.
Anti-Trump.
Or simply undesirable. That might be a thing.
Simply undesirable. Hey, he's not good looking. Get him. He's a plain looking Joe. Get his ass.
What color are those jeans? Put him in the truck. That's undesirable.
Double denim. Get him in the truck.
Is that a Canadian tuxedo?
Yeah.
Not in Manchuria. It's not.
Love a Canadian tuxedo.
Oh, yeah. Nothing wrong with it. It's fine. Now, none of these would be given a formal trial, obviously. It's, you know, you're not going to court to find out if you go to UN 731. You just get picked up.
They didn't exactly have any witnesses either.
No.
No. Oh, sorry, sorry. I thought you meant the people that work there. Sorry, you mean the people that are being fucked into it. Ah, of course, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, the people who are being fucked into it. Yeah, you're not given a formal trial. You're just taken and you're never heard of from again. They would be dressed in Japanese army uniforms to hide their identity and put aboard military trains. Unsuspecting and innocent people were also tricked into the clutches of Unit 731, some led by the prospect of employment. So every time you drive around and see a little like flyer up on a telephone pole says, "Want to make $20 an hour? Call Bob." Yeah. 555555.
I was just expecting them to leave like a trail of sweets and just people's walking along, picking up, walking in the gate, you know. It's like, see, told you it'd work.
Oh, fuck. Or, over, it'd be like, open up the door and be like, "Hey, you're pretty. You want to be a model? Get in here."
What am I doing in this room with all these undesirable people? What's happening here? What sort of model agency is this?
So boys, mothers, children, pregnant women, all trapped. The basement of the Japanese consulate in Harbin was used as their holding cell. And when Ishii required a new subject, however many was needed, they would be loaded up on a truck under the cover of darkness and transported to Pingfan. So why did they need to experiment on humans? Well, they felt they needed to find the most optimal route for infection and what the lethal and infectious dose required to spread the disease. Also, they needed to find the most effective way to immunize. And, or did I say immune? Yeah, that's
like,
you ever say a word, you're like, that doesn't sound right. And then you say it again, you're like, that was right. But why does it feel wrong?
Yeah. It's like when you write a word that you've never really written before, and you're like,
yeah.
Is that right?
Supposedly? Supposedly?
A?
Which?
A. Duh. What the fuck?
Or you say a word too much, and all of a sudden it starts to sound like not a word. Like, yes. Yes. How is that a word? It's just yes. What is yes? People are like, move along. And the fastest way to do all of this was human trials. Medical orderly Nokata Ishibashi carried out checkups on new patients. Quote, "I started work for Unit 731 at the age of 18 in the special section which did the checkups on new prisoners. We took details of types of blood, its pulse and pressure, and other things. Prisoners were all referred to as Maruda, which is Japanese word for log of wood. Although when they arrived..."
Japanese word for you're fucked.
Pretty much. "Although when they arrived, they had cards each with their name, birthplace, reason for arrest, and age. We simply gave them a number. A Maruda was just a number, a piece of experimental material. They were not regarded as human beings. Most were between 20 and 40, none over 50. They seemed to know their fate. Every time I typed out or said the word Maruda, it just sounded like a Puerto Rican boy band."
Yeah.
Remember that old band that Ricky Martin used to be in? Oh, yeah, Maruda. Yeah.
It's a pretty name for a band. So, taking that now. I'm going to learn some samba-y stuff.
Maruda. What's the name of your boy band? Maruda? What's that mean? Yeah. Log of wood.
Yeah. Yeah, girl.
Yeah. Christ. The prison housed around 200 inmates with capacity for 400. Divided in half, block 7 for men and block 8 for men, women, and children. Now, depending on the tests you were doing.
Block 9 for the ugly ones.
We put the undesirables in the bag. We only put the pretty ones up front, you know,
you put them
window
in,
dressing, yeah, to get everybody else to come, yeah, in. They're getting experimented on, but it's like with the cold or the flu, we leave the bad stuff for the guys at the back. You know, we do get it to get people to come in.
It's a Fugly unit. That's what it is.
It's just like an Abercrombie and Fitch, just two people with the cold standing out there shirtless trying to get people in.
Swimsuit models at you.
Music way too loud.
You go in and it's like people like me just sitting there like...
Somebody up on a stool like, how you doing?
You know, guy told me he'd give me $20 if let me sit something up my butt for 5 minutes. Where's my $20?
You know, they used to pay people at Abercrombie and Fitch to literally sit on a stool and say hey to people as they came in and look pretty, and that was it. That was their entire job. They just
please tell me they said
it
as, hey.
They'd be like, ah,
hey.
Blue tags are 10% off.
Yeah, fucking dickheads. Yeah.
I mean, make your money however you're going to make your money.
I'm all for the whole greeters for old people when, like, you know, when people don't have a job and be social, yeah, and all that stuff. And but the only thing you can do when you have them, I think that's a cool idea. But that whole thing of, yeah, just having some fucking little
teenager
pre-Karen dickhead sitting there, you know.
I mean, there's nothing against the person who was actually doing the sitting because they were getting paid to do a job, even though it was a stupid job and it was a worthless job. They're still getting paid, so good on you. Make your money. It goes to the people at Abercrombie who are like, oh, this is a good idea. Let's pay somebody to just sit on a stool and go, eh.
Yeah. They weren't
even supposed, I don't even know if they were supposed to really acknowledge you all that much. I think the whole thing was they were supposed to be aloof as to you, even your existence, because that was cool.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's so on fleek or whatever the kids say.
whatever the word. Just go around to Generation Alpha and just start talking in their speak. He's like, yeah, skibbity toilet, Ohio Ridge. Yeah. I don't know. It's sus. And they're like, they're all of them. They're just like, shut up. Stop saying those words. Like when our parents started saying, ooh, cool, that's rad, man. Yeah. Like, shut the fuck up. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was. Somebody said to me, oh, yeah, man. I think 2 years ago, I can't remember what it was. It was, like my father said something along those lines. Yeah, and I was like, shut the fuck up. Like, don't start that shit.
I remember we were at a youth rally, a Christian youth rally back in the day, a big old Acquire the Fire thing. And they brought out kids, and they're trying to connect with the younger crowd, you know, so they brought out some kids our age. And this, I'm like 14 at this time. And they started throwing around the word fat, P-H-A-T, fat.
Nice.
And my parents learned about that for the first time. And I remember the first time my dad said the word fat, I about shit my pants. He's like, oh, man, look, we're driving past something. Right after we had left, we drive past somebody, he looks over. I don't remember what it was. He goes, oh, that is fat. I go, no.
It's fire.
No, never, never again.
I say, I absolutely hate people saying fire, but I even hate it even more when there's people like my generation that do it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I hate, like, you see people, like, YouTube videos or whatever. Like, it's this one chef guy that I used to follow and I stopped following because he kept saying fire. And it's like, you are a 40-year-old man. Do not say fire.
Yeah. It's like, I hate it when you say fire. Do not say fire. Yes, I said it. Yes, it's your house. It doesn't mean you need to keep saying it.
Yeah.
Oh, and when my mom, so she worked in St. Louis for a long time and she started saying bling bling.
Brilliant.
Remember the first time she came, she puts on it, she's got a necklace, she puts it on, she's like, do you guys like my, because at the time, I mean, it had gone from bling bling to just bling, you know, everything gets shortened, so the vernacular was bling. And she comes in, she has this new necklace or whatever, she goes,
10 years
you guys
today.
Do you guys like my bling bling? Like, no, do that, what is wrong with you? You are in your 60s. Do not say that.
Did you ever see that video, the Catholic church guy, the Jesus rap? I can't say the title of it because it has a very racist word in it.
That we can't say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus is my...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's like, oh my God. Well, I say it with an A, not a hard R, so it's perfectly fine. No, it's not. No, it's not.
No. Oh, what was the word we used instead? It wasn't cucumber.
Cucumber, yeah.
Was it cucumber?
It was. It was all right, cucumber.
Jesus is my cucumber, then, everybody. Go look that up.
It's great. Maybe we'll post it on our Instagram. Anyway, off topic. Now, depending on the tests you were to be given, that would determine where and in what state you stayed. Many new prisoners would be put into rooms with already sick prisoners so doctors could watch through spy holes cut in steel doors to see how easily the disease spread. Now, even if you weren't put in a cell with an already sick prisoner, diseases could be forcibly injected or administered through specially developed stick-shaped bacteria assassination guns.
Oh, I gotta say, did he just cut somebody's tongue off, sellotape it to the end of a stick, use it to lick one of them, and then use it to lick the other one, and into the hole, like, lick, lick, lick.
Get it away! Well, you don't want to get sick? I don't care about getting sick, but that's fucking gross. Stop.
Then there's that one guy who starts like making out with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's gonna be something sticking through the hole, and you look in there, and it's just some guy spreading his butt cheeks. Like, yeah.
Oh God.
That's too far. I like it. Too far. You went too far. Bring it back. They could be sprayed. Or invisibly concealed in the food and drink. They could poison the water or fill chocolates, jam buns, melons, and crackers with bacteria, including EHF, or epidemic hemorrhagic fever, a.k.a. Songo, a previously unknown disease which had broken out at various places in northern Manchuria during 1930s.
It sounds like a music app. Songo. Listen to your music on the go.
Hey, Songo, what's this song? Go.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be a new show with Jamie Foxx, Beat Songo. Everybody's just got masks on and they look like they're dying. It was a germ that was best ran through ticks. You remember from our last episode, it was mostly fleas. Well, this one ran best through ticks, like Lyme disease.
Best now, get a new tick farm on the go, so get rid of the fleas. Moved on to ticks.
Now, the onset of EHF is abrupt, with shaking chills, fever, headache, backache, dizziness, eye pain, and blurred vision.
You're 40s.
Yes. Again, if your birth date starts with a 19,
yep.
year,
you may have EHF.
You may have Songo. Now, in the first few if you are a hypochondriac, I wouldn't suggest listening to this episode, because we're going to go over a lot of symptoms that you may have as you age, like fever, headaches, backaches, dizziness, eye pain, blurred vision. I have that now. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I have Songo. Your face, in the first few days, fatigue, nausea, and vomiting kick in. Your face becomes red from collapsed blood vessels and bursting capillaries. There's kidney damage. It is worse between day 3 and day 7 and takes about 3 to 4 weeks to recover. But only about 15% of the victims would die. So Marudas were used up at a rate of 2 or 3 per day. And those that didn't die would be left to fully recover and then be given another disease to test the effects of that.
Congratulations, you survived. Here's another one for your trouble.
Yeah. How are you feeling today? Actually, much better. The eye pain is gone, and I'm not as dizzy. I haven't thrown up in a few hours. Oh, that's great. Here, have this piece of cake.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Take it. Like, oh, I know what
you've
you're doing.
Earned it.
I know what you're doing, but God damn it, I do love cake. That would be my biggest downfall. They just keep giving me food. I just keep eating it. Like, here, take it. Oh, okay, here. Thank you.
Get to come with the shark sandwich again. Bastards.
That creamy typhoid filling.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Now, the experiments for typhoid were like a clinical study from hell. 50 men were each given inoculations. Some were given one, others two, some given a large amount, some given hardly any at all. Then they were made to drink water contaminated with typhoid and then observed. They were also fed typhoid-infected melons to see if it would make a good sabotage weapon. I think that's how they tested for COVID back when it first started.
Melons.
We're gonna give you all these inoculations. Some of them might work, some of them probably won't. Here, eat this melon.
Yeah, keep throwing shit at the wall and see what sticks.
Pretty much.
Plus melon.
Shit covered melon.
Yeah.
Melon that already came through. Now, yeah. And there were studies on venereal disease. Now, there was an epidemic of STDs throughout the ranks of the Imperial Japanese Army. You know, we covered that in Nanking. People, women getting fucking raped and infected with venereal disease so bad that nobody could go near them because the stench was so bad from their insides rotting away. So women and men would be raped by soldiers that were infected with syphilis. On one occasion, a pregnant woman was deliberately infected with the disease, and when her child was born, both were dissected. In fact, several women became pregnant from the forced sex acts done during these tests, sometimes by soldiers, sometimes by other inmates forced into the act. Now, these babies would ultimately be used in the unit's experiments. Now, if you remember from the first episode, I said there was going to be something, and earlier on in this episode, so there was going to be something that we kind of skip over in this episode. It's the stuff done to never going to skip over the cake, ever. Yeah. No, third cake, I'm taking it. It's the stuff done to children and babies. Children will be brought up every once in a while, just like, they did this to a kid too. But we won't get into detail about what happened to just the kids, mostly for our own sanity, especially how hard hearing some of the baby stuff on our Nanking episode was. We're just going to skip those details. So everything that's happening to people, just keep in mind that it's also happening to children and infants, toddlers, you know, from newborn all the way up to, you know, 40 years old. It's happening at every level. All right. But we're not going to get straight into the child and baby stuff because that's what made Nanking so hard to listen to, I think. I mean, along with all the other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but that really hammered at home the how horrible things were, the things that were happening to the kids.
So, if you want to listen to something that fucked up, go watch Fox or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now for the real part of torture. Switching over to our live broadcast of President Donald Trump talking.
Yeah, go watch Fox
about
News
anything.
If you need to have that vomit taste in your mouth. Now, sometimes the victims would be taken off-site for certain experiments. One area was 5 hours from Pingfan, known as Anta. Lieutenant Colonel Toshidi Nishi took part in an experiment with gas gangrene. Now, gas gangrene is a wound infection caused by the Clostridial bacteria. It destroys your blood cells and soft tissue. It causes very painful swelling. The skin turns pale to brownish red. And when the swollen area is pressed, gas can be felt and sometimes heard as a crackly sensation. Yes. What is that? What is that sound in my leg? Oh, yeah. Gary.
Yeah. Damn it, that's what's wrong with me this whole time. My ass is gangrene.
That explains the crackly sensation. No, you just need to clean better, sir. The edges of the infected area grow so quickly that changes can be seen over the minutes, not over the hours. You can just, actually, it's like bamboo growing. You can just stand there and watch it get worse. Within 6 to 4
bamboo growing thing.
Oh, we'll cover bamboo at some point, don't worry. Within 6 to 48 hours, there can be drainage from the tissues, foul-smelling brown, red, or bloody fluid, increased heart rate, moderate to high fever, swelling that worsens around the skin injury, sweating, vesicle formation, combining into large blisters, yellow color to the skin, or jaundice. If the condition is not treated, the person can go into shock with decreased blood pressure, kidney failure, coma, and finally death. Now, Lieutenant Colonel Nishi said, quote, "An experiment in which I participated was performed in infecting 10 Chinese war prisoners with gas gangrene. The object of the experiment was to ascertain whether it was possible to infect people with gas gangrene at a temperature of 20 degrees Celsius below zero. This experiment was performed in the following way. 10 Chinese war prisoners were tied to stakes at a distance of 10 to 20 meters from a shrapnel bomb that was charged with gas gangrene.
All right.
To prevent the men from being killed outright, their heads and backs were protected with special metal shields and thick quilted blankets, but their legs and buttocks were left unprotected. The bomb was exploded by means of an electrical switch, and the shrapnel, bearing gas gangrene germs, scattered all over the spots where the experimentees were bound. All the experimentees were wounded in the legs or buttocks, and 7 days later, they died in great torment."
Two things on this. One,
okay,
his explanation, his whole thing, "I took part in this experiment," it sounded nearly like a form, kind of like, insert bullshit reasoning here. Yeah. Right? But the other thing is, I was like, so they exposed these bunch of people's arses to, yeah. to what essentially creates gas coming out of that area. That is just some ways hilarious. Like, so it's,
well, it's gas gangrene. Going,
like, yeah. Well, it's like just everybody just sitting around, kind of nearly afraid to fart in case they think, like, you know, like, hey, it's like when COVID was a thing, everybody's afraid to cough around people. You know, it's just because it's all down that area. Like, you never know. Like, if somebody farts straight away, it's like, he's got the gangrene. It's like,
but at the end of it, all of them had it. They were all dead within 7 days. So, all of them shrieking in pain. Some of them just, it's just pretty much you're just, you know, naked from the waist down, standing in front of a fucking claymore. It's pretty much what it is. You
feel boy sitting there afterwards, kind of 20 degrees, check. Day 2, 21 degrees, check. 22 degrees. I can imagine just keep doing that.
They still have it? Yes. Okay, here we go. 23 degrees. Now, they use the same technique to test anthrax bombs. After the blast, the prisoners would be given on-the-spot treatment and sent back to Pingfan. Anthrax is a serious illness caused by a spore-forming bacterium, Bacillus anthracis. Symptoms developed within 6 days to 6 weeks of exposure to the bacteria, depending on what kind you have, including a raised, itchy bump resembling an insect bite that quickly develops into a painless sore with a black center, swelling in the sore and nearby lymph glands, flu-like symptoms, headache, vomiting, abdominal pain, loss of appetite, severe bloody diarrhea. say that escalated Ooh. Quickly. Sore throat, difficulty swallowing, swollen neck, mild chest discomfort, shortness of breath, coughing up blood, high fever, trouble breathing, shock, meningitis, and organ failure.
And don't forget the face melting guitar riffs. They come along with Anthrax.
Sometimes they'll bring in Public Enemy. Those are the undesirables, the Public Enemies. Their death throes were observed and recorded. It's literally just people in a room laying there, dying a horrible death, while doctors are just like peeking in through like a glory hole, just watching, like, ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's got himself a case of the Scott Eels.
He just had bloody diarrhea on top of that other guy who's throwing up blood. I mean, this is great.
Fuck that.
It's like that one video of the penguins in that are just laying there. The one penguin shits and it shoots shit on the top of the other penguin. The other penguin's like, what the fuck, man?
I think it's more kind of like, you know, like when somebody gets sick and that causes somebody else to get sick. Like, two people turn basically just puking on each other as a result of it.
Like. And then one other person's like, I normally can handle it with the two. And then they start throwing up. And then the doctors are like, man, I don't feel so good. I think I might throw up. And then the doctor next to them starts throwing up. And all of a sudden, everybody's fucking throwing up. Like it's a.
It's a puke party. Weapon get.
Marudas were generally fed. Well fed. For some reason, I couldn't get those two words out of my mouth. Marudas were generally well fed and looked after before and after experiments. They needed healthy test material from which to gain the best scientific results. Some prisoners were even able to survive all infection experiments, developing immunities. But all that really meant was that you would be good to use for other kinds of research. You know, nobody's going to get just outright shot and killed. If you were alive, you were going to have some type of test. Unless that test was, I wonder if they could survive a bullet to the head.
Yeah.
If you were alive, you were getting tested. Now, winter in northern Manchuria gets cold. Very cold. Very cold, like water freezing in a matter of seconds cold, much colder than the temperate climate of Japan. And some suffered terribly from frostbite. This was a concern for the Japanese if they were to ever go again to war inside Russia. So they needed to figure out how to best fight off the cold. And this was left to civilian researcher named Hisato Yoshimura.
Fire.
They had developed some kind of pill that actually helped fight off the cold. But they were trying to develop an even better way that other countries didn't have access to, that other people didn't have access to. It could be just for the Japanese, something that would be better. So medical orderly Yoshio Furuichi
invented the coat.
I call it a parka. Parka. A parka? No, you got a parka. See the fox fur along it? I know people, ASPCA, they're not going to like it. But it's okay. We have too many foxes around here anyway. So notice the fox fur. Yeah. It's lined with flannel.
Has buttons that are just there for aesthetic reasons. You have a zipper. But
sometimes you can button this one. You can always button this one. Never button the one on bottom. Never button the one on bottom. Why is it there if I can't button it? For look.
Well, I can't reach the one on my coat. I don't think one of my coats is really long. I can't reach the bottom. Yeah. Be like. There you go.
Anyway, the medical orderly Yoshio Furuichi describes the experiments as so. Quote, experiments in freezing human beings were performed every year in the detachment in the coldest months of the year, November, December, January, and February. The technique of these experiments was as follows. The experimentees were taken out into the frost at night, about 11 o'clock, and compelled to dip their hands into a barrel of cold water. Then they were compelled to take their hands out and stand with wet hands in the frost for a long time. I love how he says compelled. Like, we didn't make them do it. We just said maybe you should do it. They did it on their own. They felt compelled to.
Would you kindly please put your hand in the bucket?
Put this in your mouth. Now you can put your hands in the water or not. Let's see what happens. And if they didn't put their hands in the water, the following was done. The people were taken out, dressed, but with bare feet, and compelled to stand at night in the frost in the coldest period of the year. Now, when these people had gotten frostbite, they were taken into a room and forced to put their feet in water of 5 degrees Celsius. And then the temperature was gradually increased. And this way, means for healing frostbite were investigated. Now, just so we're clear, northern Manchuria can see temps as low as 30 degrees Celsius below zero. That's negative 22 Fahrenheit for all of our American listeners. And that's not even, like, the worst part. It can that's like a normal cold in the middle of the winter in this area. It can get much colder. Other stories tell of people being taken outside in the dead of winter at night, arms bare, and made to freeze with help of a, quote, artificial current of air. So, you know, a fan.
I'm sorry, they're not Americans. They haven't got a right to bear arms.
Well, it was forced. But that was good. And this was done until the frozen arms, once struck with a stick, quote, emitted a sound resembling that which a board gives out when it is struck. So, Dan, you're renovating a house, and I'm sure you hit plenty of lumber with a hammer. That sound that you hear when you
fucking hammer.
That sound that you would hear when you would hit like a 2x4 with a hammer, that was the sound these people's arms were making when you hit them with a stick because they were so frozen solid.
Christ.
Boom. That's what a person's arm sounded like. For context, this is what an arm sounds like when you hit it now. That's it. This is what it sounded like then. There's a difference, and it's horrifying.
Yeah,
no,
that's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's not. We laugh because it's horrible. Sergeant Major Satoru Kirakazu claimed, quote, "When I walked into the prison laboratory, 5 Chinese experimentees were sitting on a long form. 2 of these Chinese had no fingers at all. Their hands were black. In those, the 3 others, the bones were visible. They had fingers, but they were only bones. I was told that this was the result of freezing." It's like a fucking horror movie.
So we made a drum kit from their arses. Let's sit there down.
Another witness said, quote, "2 naked men were put in an area 40 to 50 degrees below zero, and researchers filmed the whole process until they died. They suffered such agony, they were digging their nails into each other's flesh. They screamed and screamed, but we didn't regard the logs as human beings. They were lumps of meat on a chopping block."
Jesus.
Just like, well, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
Piece
yeah.
of shit. Jesus Christ.
Like, don't sugarcoat it or anything. You know, yeah, just, like,
tell us how you really feel.
Yeah.
Jesus
Christ. You say he's a joy at parties, that guy. Like, yeah, fuck.
Oh, did you see what's happening on the streets over there? I mean, people dying in the streets. Good. That's what should happen. They're logs. They're not human beings. Let them die. Let them eat cake. typhoid infected cake.
That's maybe that's what Twinkies are, and y'all don't realize that the Japanese are slowly killing you.
Slowly killing. We have infected them with the worst disease of all, diabetes.
Japanese are coming to take over.
Yes, and 30 to 40 years they'll all be too fat to move.
Yeah,
that'll be our chance. But by then they're all like big into like video games and buying used women's underwear out of vending machines, and they just don't care anymore.
Reading
like,
now
we got a pretty good thing. We got a pretty good thing over here. I don't think we're gonna go to America. Seems like kind of a bad place right now. Yeah. We'll just stay in Japan.
It's the graphics right. aren't as good.
Yeah. I mean, we have better infrastructure, our public transit's better, we have healthcare. We'll just leave them alone. They've learned their lesson.
We're not doing any of this crazy shit we used to do 60, 70, 80 years ago anymore.
Yeah.
Now we're just making cool shit.
Yeah. Now, because of these tests, many Marudas had suffered horrible pain. Many could be seen with rotting limbs and skin blackened by necrosis. Whole limbs amputated to preserve their lives for more experiments. Some experiments resulted in the flesh and muscle falling off the bone. Think about that next time you have barbecue. Others left the bone so brittle that they would shatter when hit with a club. I don't know if you ever seen the movie Snowpiercer with Chris Evans.
Yeah,
but the
and
scene
TV
where
show,
the guy,
yeah,
the scene where the guy has his hand stuck out the window of the train and then brought back in and smashed with the fucking hammer. Yeah, think that. That's what's going on. Now, on the flip side of that, sometimes, not as often, they would use flamethrowers. After death, Dan just goes, oh! After death, bodies were incinerated to eliminate traces of their activities, and flamethrowers were sometimes employed in this process. However, there are accounts suggesting that flamethrowers may have been used in experiments involving the effects of extreme heat on the human body. Prisoners were exposed to fire to observe how their bodies responded to severe burns, or to study the limits of human endurance in extreme conditions. So first you take the Chinese man, you put him in a bag, and you put him in the sous vide. All right, you let him cook for about 4 hours to bring him up to the perfect temperature, and then you take the flamethrower and you just
reverse
char him on
sear
both
that
sides.
Baby.
You just get him charred on both sides.
Like all you had to do was bring in a chef, they would have known what's the effects of heat on meat. Well, let me tell you. He's like, no, I gotta find out. Gotta do it.
It makes it delicious.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh well, we're gonna find out. Just a Chinese
maybe
person
Chinese,
different.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, maybe a Chinese person cooks differently to a Japanese person. So let's find out.
Will I still be hungry in 20 minutes?
Then they're, oh god, I was gonna say something, but I won't.
Like how racist.
No, it's not racism.
Oh, okay.
I was gonna say, next thing they're deep frying the babies.
Oh god, yeah, no, we don't need that. No.
Well, I've said it now.
Took it too far. Oh, we're all out here having fun, and then here comes Dan taking it too far. Now
it's a whole new meaning of baby back ribs.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. I want my baby back ribs. Fat bastard. Now, there were experiments to see how long a human being could survive with just water and biscuits. Two Marudas were used for this.
2 days they would survived on that.
Yeah. Well, they would continuously circle a set course within the grounds of the unit, carrying 20-kilogram sandbags on their backs. Both died after about 2 months.
Of water and biscuits.
Water and biscuits and then carrying around sandbags. 20-kilogram sandbags. Yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck?
I mean, well, you would get to that point. Maybe a week and a half in, where your body is just toned and ripped as fuck, and then it's like gone like that. So you get like a 1-2 day period where you're just looking good, and then all of a sudden it just goes to shit. You gotta imagine they're both running around, be like, man, I'm hungry as fuck, but oh man, they're just looking in the mirrors, flexing, and then the next day they're like,
fuck the Atkins diet, I'm doing this shit.
Why does everything hurt? They performed pressure experiments similar to those carried out at Dachau concentration camp, done on behalf of the Japanese Air Force, and an individual would be placed in the unit's pressure chamber. They would suffer a terrible agony as their eyes first popped out of their sockets as the eye membrane ruptured, and later as blood forced its way out through the pores of the skin, literally sweating blood.
Just some guy sitting next to him with gas gangrene, just like, and looking at that happening, he's like, hate that. At least I didn't got it that bad.
Sweating blood, you think you got it bad? How about this?
Infects the entire room.
Yeah. So pretty much what would happen if you like took somebody and slowly descended them into like the Mariana Trench, just everything is going to start to, you know, rupture. Some had... Oh, you got the other one now.
He just came some walking and go, their...
I want to try. Now, some had their blood siphoned off and replaced with horse blood in plasma experiments. You can't do that. You will die. Just so you know, don't try it. Horse blood and human blood, not the same thing. Many men, women, and children were mummified alive in total dehydration experiments, sweating to death under the heat of hot dry fans. At death, their corpses weighed 1/5 the normal body weight. Some subjects were hung upside down and timed to see how long it took for them to choke to death. Some had air injected into their blood vessels to study embolisms.
Fuck that.
Others were electrocuted, some were boiled alive, spun to death in giant centrifuges, killed by prolonged exposure to X-rays. After death of any and all of these subjects, they would be autopsied, and the damage done to the body, both internally and externally, would be documented. But possibly the worst was the vivisections. Live dissections of victims without the use of anesthesia, or sometimes with varying amounts of anesthesia. A former medical assistant, Oshiu Sinosaka, described the process of cutting open a Maruda without the use of anesthesia. Quote, "The fellow knew that it was over for him, and so he didn't struggle when they let him into the room and tied him down. But when I picked up the scalpel, that's when he began screaming. I cut him open from the chest to the stomach. He screamed terribly, and his face was all twisted in agony. He made this unimaginable sound, was screaming so horribly. Then, finally, he stopped. This was all in a day's work for the surgeon, but it left an impression on me because it was my first time."
I tell you when you said that. But doing the experiment on your man, you're like, to quote, it hurt. I assume that's as far as it was going to go. But no.
The patient quote, ah!
Yeah.
End quote.
The stenographer sitting in there. There's loads of A's.
The hardest one to do is you got to press all these on the left hand and all these on the right hand.
How do you spell ARG?
Military doctors were curious to see how the diseases progressed inside the body at progressive stages. Some doctors are said to come all the way from Japan just to see such a dissection. Subjects would be taken out of their cells at, quote, time for optimum results. A former, he's like, oh, he's going to get ready to throw up. Hurry, dissect it.
Yeah.
I want to see how it works. A former unit member said, quote, as soon as the symptoms were observed, the prisoner was taken from his cell and into the dissection room. He was stripped and placed on the table, screaming, trying to fight back. He was strapped down, still screaming frightfully. One of the doctors stuffed a towel in his mouth, and then with one quick slice of the scalpel, he was opened up. Blood often spurted all over the ceiling of the dissection room as certain incisions were made. Just cut him over. Oh, sorry. Yeah. That hardly ever happens to me.
Yeah, we got a squirter.
Limbs of the dying Marudas would flex and jerk involuntarily as the scalpel entered particular parts of the brain. That's the look on Dan's face I've been waiting for. Organs would twitch vigorously after being thrown into jars of formaldehyde. So I didn't even have time to get them cold. It's like, ooh, put it in there, and then just kidney just going. Yeah.
Fuck that. This is ridiculous. Poor guys get exposed to cold, get shot with a flamethrower, sitting there shitting his pants because he got some fucking disease. And he's like, as soon as he's about to shit himself again, they're like, quickly throw him on the operating table. And he's shitting himself the whole way there, gets thrown on the operating table, only to have his spleen cut out and like thrown his like acid right next to him or some shit like that. While everybody's sitting there going,
I didn't know that's how that worked.
Yeah, screaming. You have two interesting. Of
those? Well, and just sticking the scalpel into the brain and be like, how do you feel now? Horrible. How about now? Horrible. How about now? Pretty good. How about now? Horrible again.
And this.
Stick it back in the other place.
And this is how that surgery game was made.
Yeah, what's this is called? Operation.
Operation, yeah, that's it. That's how surgery game. that's like the fucking Target version of it or some shit.
Surgery game by Mattel.
Yeah.
That's the one you get on Temu.
Yeah, that's it.
The surgery game. And then all of your information is stolen and your credit
Become
card
a doctor wiped. Today.
In all, about 3,000 prisoners came to Unit 731, but absolutely none left. I would be unfair to say that all these doctors and researchers were just soulless psychopaths. Many didn't realize what they were getting themselves into and were horrified when they finally discovered the true nature of their work. But once they were in there, there's really no getting out. Like Dr. Suo Akimoto, a young serologist or a scientist who studies blood and other bodily fluids to identify disease and abnormalities, said, quote, I was very shocked when I arrived and found out about the human experiments. Very few of those scientists had a sense of conscience. They treated the prisoners like animals. The prisoners were the enemy. They would eventually be sentenced to death. They thought the prisoners would die an honorable death if, in the process, they contributed to progress of medical science. I was very frightened, although my work involved no human experiments. I wrote my resignation to Major General Kikuchi, the research chief, 3 or 4 times. But there was no way of getting out. I was told that if I left, I might secretly be executed. So, it's like a gang, almost. I mean, you can leave, but you're not going to live through it. Now, Unit 731 was by no means the only site where human experiments were taking place. Ishii had set up satellite facilities all around Asia. And that's where we'll pick up, with the various sister facilities, the capture and experiments done on Allied soldiers, the fall of Ishii and the biological warfare detachment, the cover-up, the lack of retribution, and the aftermath of disease and contamination on the third and final episode of Japan's Unit 731. It's over, almost. Yeah. The next one you're going to see Allied soldiers, Americans, British, Australians, kind of going through this. Kill them all. Kind of going through the same thing. You'll see that. They're going to have experiments where some people get sick with diseases and some people don't because they are given the placebos. You'll find out that the people who almost always got sick were of American descent and the British and Australians kind of.
Damn over dramatic people.
Yeah.
I thought it was because of all the dramatics.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I feel so sick.
Did you just have this door? Do you have a greeter at the door as they're coming into the rooms? Hey.
Well, no, see, but
give them an injection.
The Americans, I think, would deal with the illness a little bit better because we're so used to not having health care that we just kind of deal with getting sick. Well, hell, the rest of the world can go to the hospital and get taken care of. We just sit at home and be like,
yes to the cake before the rest of them would.
That's true.
Yeah, so, no.
That's true. I'm saying I would deal with the sickness better because I'm used to not getting treated for whatever sickness I get. Like, I'm used to, like, feeling like shit and just not doing anything about it because I don't want to have to pay my fucking deductible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Well, thank you to our patrons, Willow Quinn Fowler, Nevin, and Sam. You can sign up as patreon.com/torturepod 1 week of our cult leader tier for free. Been seeing a lot of people sign up for that free cult leader tier. Appreciate you going and at least looking at it, even if you don't sign up for a full, you know, subscription. You going and checking it out is great.
Do they still get a mug?
No, they don't get a mug. They don't get. They get a free week, is what they get.
No. I mean, sorry, if you sign up for the proper thing.
Oh yeah,
if
you sign up, I can't remember which tiers it is. If you sign up for 3 consecutive months, you will get a free gift in the mail as long as you give us your mailing address.
Your money.
We've had some people who said, oh, we don't want to give you my mailing address, and they didn't get the mug. So we can't send you the mug if we don't know where to send it to.
Set up a P.O. box, people. That's what people do when they don't want to, you know.
Send it to your neighbor. Get your neighbor's house and then wait for it to get there. Just kind of sneak across.
Yeah.
Take it. And when they open it up, be like, honey, did you subscribe to a Patreon for something called torture?
Send it to Phil Better. A Phil Better ring.
And he will send it to you free of charge because that's just the type of guy Phil is. Connect with us on all the socials at Torture Pod. That's Instagram, your TikToks, your Blue Sky. Email torturepod@gmail.com. Buy me a coffee at /torturepod. Redbubble.com/people/torturepod for merch. All Pride merch profits donated to the Trevor Project. That is very important right now because in America, because they some people are trying to systematically eliminate the LGBTQ community. Go Bastards. Rate and review. Yeah, really. Wherever you can. And thank you to our sponsors. You can support us by supporting them. Dan, any words of wisdom?
Don't accept free cake. I think I said that last week.
That's the one from last week. It's still good. It's still good.
That's what they told me, but it wasn't. Bastard. Lying bastards. They're free cake. Well, along the same kind of lines, really. Like, don't go licking sick Chinese, Japanese, and Russian babies.
If there's a tongue on a stick.
Yeah, avoid it. Unless you're in that form of club or some shit. I don't know. But that's
don't
your
spread
thing.
Your butt cheeks.
Yeah.
Spread my butt cheeks.
Ain't my cup on tay, as we would say here. It is not my cup on tay. But if that's your thing.
Playgirl magazine.
Whatever. Fucking love that movie.
Yeah. What did he call himself? Spread my butt cheeks for Playgirl magazine.
I can't remember what he said.
Fuck, what was his name? I cannot remember. I'll remember the second we get off here.
Yeah.
So there's somebody listening to it screaming at their phone or at their car radio going, it's this. So not as horrible as what it could have been. Trust me, it could have been a lot worse, especially if we would have got to the kid stuff. But still pretty bad. Next week. Next episode, it's not going to be great either. So just keep that. All right.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's all fine. They're not doing it anymore.
We hope. Guarantee it's somebody doing some shit.
I'm sure there's some place in like South America or Africa where they're still doing that shit.
Or North America.
Or
the Canadians. America. The Canadians are fucking doing it. Bet you anything. They're too nice for their own good.
There's something about, like I said, don't ever trust somebody who smiles that much.
There's something going on. They sent out Nickelback to distract everybody.
It's just a serial killer. Oh, fuck. Take care of yourselves and take care of one another. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by PodUp.com.
Let's be honest, whether you want to admit it or not, you've probably thought at some point to start a podcast. I mean, podcasts are fun. You and I have a good time on here, Dan.
Just get on, talk junk.
Yeah. I mean, it's some dark content. What we're talking about isn't necessarily fun, but we make it fun. We have a good time. And we would never even met each other if it weren't for podcasts. So
that's true. Podcasts and Canadians.
Podcasts and Canadians. Little D&D thrown in there. I mean, change your life.
Well, there are about 5 million podcasts out there, and around 90% of those stop after just 3 episodes. That's including about 1.8 million that stop before they even start, which we know thing or two about that, though, to be fair.
We do, unfortunately.
Quite a few still on the drawing room floor.
Of those that do get started and pass that 3 episode mark, about 90% of those don't get past 20 episodes. And there's a reason. Podcasting is hard. Well, successful podcasting is hard.
Yeah, it's not just sitting in front of a microphone and talking for an hour. No, sometimes that's what it is for me. It's recording, audio editing, video editing, social media, promotion, blah, blah, blah. All the stuff that Kevin does.
And I do. And finding and paying for all that software to use can be just as big of a headache, not to mention expensive.
Well, with PodUp, you can have a one-stop shop for everything you need to take your podcast to the next level.
35 powerful modules with AI integration and one software, you can create, publish, grow, monetize, and manage your podcast with a simple, easy-to-use interface.
Everything from a site builder and recorder to editing for video and audio, live streams, blogs, and transcriptions.
Legal, newsletters, SEO.
Setting up shops, getting ads and sponsorships.
Managing your workflow, files, and even backing up your content.
Set up an account today and get 14 days free. And even schedule a demo with one of PodUp's podcasting experts to see how to start producing and monetizing your very own podcast.
And when you're ready, use our exclusive coupon code TORTURE15 for 15% off whichever package you decide to go with.
And if you're a professional that's even too busy for that, go to podallies.com.
Their done-for-you podcast production and marketing service will take care of the dirty work for you.
Dirty. We're talking websites, social media, editing work, SEO, all done for you. So you can just focus on being the star of the show, like me, and getting on with your day, unlike Kevin, who has to do all the work.
That's why everybody comes, is for Dan. And this team of experts will use PodUp software to put your podcast on the map where it belongs. See, just they're using PodUp software. It's all one big circle. It's coming all, it's always coming back around.
Like an opposite of a square.
That's right.
So, go to podup.com and podallies.com and use our coupon TORTURE15 for 15% off. That's TORTURE15 for 15% off.
PodUp.com, the ultimate podcasting platform.